You are about to hear Born in Slavery, Narratives from the WPA Slave Narrative Collection by William Moss, narrated by Christopher Wagnon.
The WPA Slave Narrative Collection was a massive compilation of histories by former slaves, undertaken by the Federal Writers Project of the Works Progress Administration from 1936 to 1938. It was the simultaneous effort of state-level branches of FWP in 17 states, working largely separately from each other. These narratives depict the physical and mental atrocities visited upon black people in a way no other method, save that of witnessing the barbarities firsthand, could. The narratives that disclose the meanness and depravity of evil masters graphically illustrate the abject wrongness of slavery. Lest we be inclined to consider the reports depicting benignant generosity among slave owners as exonerating slavery, consider the aftermath of emancipation. Hundreds of thousands of black people who were taught to depend on the largesse of their white masters as the only way to live were plunged into contemptible, humiliating poverty, swept under the feet of the vanquished foe that once enslaved them. When I Was a Slave is a collection of the expression of these former slaves. Having described the slavery from which they were emancipated, they then speak of a new slavery of exclusion and hatred. Mary Anderson. Interviewed near Raleigh, North Carolina. Interviewed by Pat Matthews. Age when interviewed, 86. My name is Mary Anderson. I was born on a plantation near Franklinton, Wake County, North Carolina, May 10, 1851. I was a slave belonging to Sam Brody, who owned the plantation at this place. My missus was Eveline, my father was Alfred Brody, and my mother was Bertha Brody. We had good food, plenty of warm, homemade clothes, and comfortable houses. The slave houses were called the quarters, and the house where Marster lived was called the great house. Our houses had two rooms each. The Marster's house had 12 rooms, both the slave and white folks' buildings were located in a large grove, 1 mile square, covered with oak and hickory nut trees. Marster's house was exactly 1 mile from the main Lewisburg Road, and there was a wide avenue leading through the plantation and grove to Marster's house. The house fronted the avenue east, and going down the avenue from the main road, you traveled directly west. The plantation was very large, and there were about 200 acres of cleared land that was farmed each year. A pond was located on the place, and in winter, ice was gathered there for summer use and stored in an ice house, which was built in the grove where the other buildings were. A large hole about 10 feet deep was dug in the ground. The ice was put in that hole and covered. A large frame building was built over it. At the top of the earth, there was an entrance door and steps leading down to the bottom of the hole. Other things besides ice were stored there. There was a still on the plantation, and barrels of brandy were stored in the ice house. Also pickles, preserves, and cider. Many of the things we used were made on the place. There was a grist mill, tannery, shoe shop, blacksmith shop, and looms for weaving cloth. There were about 162 slaves on the plantation. Every Sunday morning, all the children had to be bathed, dressed, and their hair combed and carried down to Marster's for breakfast. It was a rule that all the little colored children eat at the great house every Sunday morning in order that Marster and Mrs. could watch them eat so they would know which ones were sickly and have them doctored. Sunday was a great day on the plantation. Everybody got biscuits Sundays. The slave women went down to Marster's for their Sunday allowance of flour. All the children ate breakfast at the great house, and Marster and Mrs. gave out fruit to all. The slaves looked forward to Sunday as they labored through the week. It was a great day. Slaves received good treatment from Marster and all his family. The slave children all carried a mussel shell in their hands to eat with up to the great house. The food was put on large trays, and the children all gathered round and ate, dipping up their food with their mussel shells, which they used for spoons. Those who refused to eat, or those who were ailing in any way, had to come back to the great house for their meals and medicine until they were well. Marster had a large apple orchard in the Tall River low grounds. And up on higher ground and nearer the plantation house, there was on one side of the road a large plum orchard, and on the other side was an orchard of peaches, cherries, quinces, and grapes. We picked the quinces in August and used them for preserving. Marster and Mrs. believed in giving the slaves plenty of fruit, especially the children.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?